Well, good morning, Devin. Jason, I do appreciate the effort, but I can probably put this down a bit. So thank you. We've got a bit of a running thing going if you haven't been here before, but it's great to see everyone today. If you're new, welcome. I'm Pastor Bert. And, you know, for the past couple months, since beginning of the year anyways, we've been starting a year of discovery. As I was praying for you last fall, God showed me that discover would be the theme for this church for this year, for Devon Community Church. He put a picture of the Leduc number one discovery well into my mind, and he started downloading what he wanted us to focus on as his church. It'll be a year of discovering more about our God and Savior from the Bible, of discovering our purpose as his children and as his church, and discovering how we can impact our community, moving them to want to discover more about God themselves. All of this came from simply praying and listening for God's voice. And it's something that each and every one of us can do. Because God doesn't just speak to special people, otherwise I would never hear him. Although some have said I'm special. I don't think it had the same meaning. But, but God does speak to you. Because he wants to have a close, personal relationship with you. It's why he created you in the first place. The Bible says that God is love. He is actually, in his essence, love. It's who he is. It's part of his very character and being. And because love doesn't just happen in a vacuum, God created people to be the objects of his love and care. But in our rebellion, humanity walked away from that relationship. And we have been suffering the consequences ever since. But when we turn back to God and give him our lives, he accepts us back and gives us a new life, a life of abundance, a life of purpose that will last forever. I want you to listen to what the early church leader Paul told to the church in Corinth, Greece at that time. He said, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for God or for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So you see, God loves people so much that he came and laid down his life to pay for the consequences of our rebellion, which the Bible calls sin. Now, if you're wondering what that word means, sin is really just an old English word. It's an archery term, meaning to fall short or to miss the mark, which is exactly what happens when we live apart from God. We fall short of God's expectations, and we miss the mark of experiencing his very best for us. Paul said it like this to the church in Rome. He said, "Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to restore our relationship with God. And when we put our faith in him and start living for him, we've been given them, we're given that responsibility of rescuing people by helping them to turn back to God as well. That, my friends, is what it really means to love God and love people. It's more than a slogan on a sign. It's our very purpose as followers of Jesus. Now, if you've read the title of this talk on your outline, you may be wondering what on earth this has to do with hearing from God. Well, really everything. Remember, Jesus came to restore our relationship with him. It's about relationship. And you can't have relationship without communication, right? I've said that a few times over the last couple months. Jesus often used the analogy of him being a shepherd. And at one time he stated this. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice. You know, you only really get to know someone when you spend time together, right? Talking about things and listening to each other. The five couples at the marriage course this last Monday worked on those things, those very things. And praying and listening to God then is so important for us to get closer to Jesus and to follow his mission of reconciling people to himself. If you're not hearing from him, then you don't know where to go, right? You don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. So today we're going to take a look at four prerequisites that are found in the Bible for actually hearing God's voice. We looked at a little bit at this last week, but we're going to continue on that theme. And these have to do really with your perception, your practice, your perspective, and your position. Okay? Perception, practice, perspective, position. When you approach God in prayer. First thing you need to deal with, if you want to be able to hear God's voice, is that you must believe he cares. You got to believe God cares. Again, I've spoken about this a couple times in different ways, but when I was growing up, my perception of God was skewed. It was. I believed he existed, but he really didn't care about me. He got too many bigger things to do, right? And this held me back from getting close to him, to getting to know him, discovering his purpose for me, kept me from hearing his voice. It caused me to stress about stuff that I didn't need to worry about. And that's why I love what Matthew recorded Jesus saying, "Don't worry and say, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?" The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. Your Father in heaven knows you need them. You know, even after following Jesus for over 40 years, this is still amazing to me. That God's actually concerned that I have something to wear. And you're very thankful for that. He's concerned that I have enough to eat and drink. Last week, I mentioned how God helps our families on way too many occasions help us find our keys, lost keys. Every little detail he actually cares about. God is more interested in the details of your life than you actually are, because he made you and he loves you. He cares about you. And if you missed that talk last week, make sure to check it out on the church's YouTube channel. You don't want to miss that one. You know, until you understand how much God cares about you, you won't come asking him questions about the details of your life. Because you'll think, like I did, God's got far too many important things to do than worry about little old me, right? truth is, God is so interested in you because he is your heavenly Father who made you and loves you. In fact, he created this world for you. The beauty, the joy, all of that is so you could experience a wonderful life. And by the way, helping you out in no way lessens his ability to keep all of this going. Not at all. He can take care of anything because the Bible tells us God is actually what a word, the biblical word is omnipotent. Omnipotent just means he is all powerful. All powerful. Omni, all potent, powerful, right? There's no limit to his ability or power. The Bible also says he's omniscient, which means all seeing. So he sees and knows every little predicament and circumstance and situation that you're going through in your life. He doesn't get distracted, right? His attention is upon every single one of his beloved children. Every moment of every day, even while you're sleeping, speaks to you. He's far more interested in your problems than you think he is. When you believe God cares, then you can understand that he wants the very best for you. So you can expect answers to your prayers. When you expect answers, let me tell you, you start to really pray. And when you really pray, you really listen because you know he'll give you the answer. God cares about the details. So because he knows and cares, the next step is that it's important for us to be specific, right? We need to be specific. You know, when I told my assistant pastor in Lethbridge that I was moving to Devon, his jaw hit the floor. You see, he had come from a Baptist background and had never spoken in tongues. Now, if you're new, tongues is what the Bible calls the heavenly language that Jesus gives his followers as a gift when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We sang about that this morning. And like we're here, the church there in Lethbridge is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, which only ordains pastors who have been given the gift of tongues. So to say he was a little concerned is an understatement. So I counseled him to take a day each week, Sunday after church, have lunch with your family, go out to your lake lot and fast and pray for the 24 hours for God to give you that gift. So the next week he prayed and, that week he prayed, God, if you want me to become the pastor of this church, I need the gift of tongues. And he distinctly felt God say, hold on there a minute, just back up to the first part of your prayer. If I want you to be the pastor of this church. And that hit him as well, right? It's like, oh, I never thought of that. So he spent that time finding out, God, do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do? And listening for his voice. And then after he came back, even God gave him all kinds of affirmations through several different people that he didn't tell him what had happened, and yet they spoke right into what he was looking for. So the next week, he felt confident. Yes, God had spoken to me both by his spirit and through godly people that I know and trust that he wants me to do this. So then he was able to pray and pray for God to fill him with his spirit, and it happened almost immediately. It was so cool. You know, when you're looking for help and guidance from God, what are you supposed to do? Your practice should be to pray specifically for what you want to find out, right? It only makes sense. You don't want to beat around the bush. The more specific you are, the more likely you'll hear the answer, right? Instead of saying something like, God, please fix my life, God, what do you want me to do about blank? This issue in my life. What's the next step I need to take right now? How should I maybe approach this problem I'm having? What do I need to change? Over and over again through the Bible, God says, ask me. Jesus said, keep on asking, you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And James, who's the first pastor in Jerusalem, told the church, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he'll gladly tell you. God wants you to ask him for help and guidance. He's waiting, he's willing, he's wanting to be a part of your life. He wants you to ask for help with your relationships, about your career, with your health, your finances. He's eager and wanting to talk to you. So ask and believe he cares about you and is interested in the details of your life. Once you've done that, the next step is to search your heart. Make sure that your prayers aren't just focusing on getting what you want. Because if your perspective is always what's in it for me, then the next point says you need to banish wrong motives. Get rid of them. Again, we find James addressing this issue. He tells certain individuals in the early church, he says, when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. So it's probably a good practice. Before you ask God, ask yourself, am I asking this to glorify God, to bless someone else? Is this a legitimate need I have? Or am I asking this for me to look good? Or to get something out of it? Remember, God's omniscient. Remember what that means? He already knows. He knows your heart. And he knows your motivation for asking. So be honest with yourself and with him. You know, some folks think that this means that they, you know, if they just play the martyr, then God will answer them, will give them what they want, right? So they approach God with this false humility. God, I don't want to ask for myself. I'm not worthy of anything from you. But I have this friend who really needs a vacation in Mexico. Do they really think they're fooling God? If you have a genuine need, simply ask God for his help. With no pretenses, no false motives. Okay? When you pray to God, you come in humility. He's able, we're not, right? So we should come in humility. You make a specific request. You ask him about handling this particular situation or how he wants you to handle that situation. And then you expect an answer. There's a story Jesus told one time that was recorded by the early church historian named Luke about another wrong attitude that we can have when it comes to prayer. In it, he compares the attitudes of a religious leader called a Pharisee with a reviled tax collector. Here's the story. He said, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a proud, self-righteous Pharisee, and the other a cheating tax collector. The proud Pharisee prayed this prayer. Thank God I am not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat. I don't commit adultery. I go without food twice a week, and I give to God a tenth of everything I earn. But Jesus said that the corrupt tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed, but he beat upon his chest in sorrow, exclaiming, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this sinner, not the Pharisee, not the religious guy, returned home forgiven. For the proud shall be humbled, but the humble shall be honored. Folks, God honors humble hearts. And he humbles prideful hearts. If you only pray to impress someone or to increase your position, then you're in for a world of hurt. Not only will God not answer your prayers in the way that you want, he'll actually work against you and your selfish motive or ambition. The wise King Solomon of Israel wrote that arrogance causes nothing but trouble. It is wiser to ask for advice. If you want to hear from God, throw your pride aside. Humble yourself and ask the Lord for his mercy, his grace to help you. And if what you're praying for is within his plan for your life, then you can be confident that you will receive exactly what you ask for. But if it isn't, then in humility and surrender, we need to follow our fourth point. Bend your will to his. Bend your will to his. I know, again, I've mentioned this in the previous lesson, but it's so important to understand, folks, it bears repeating. When Jesus taught his first followers how to pray, he addressed this attitude when he said, "May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not my will. It's not my kingdom. When you pray, it doesn't make any sense to pray stuff that God doesn't want. Right? Because it's not going to happen. Period. He will not work against his plan. He won't work against what's best for you. I'm sorry, but there are no backup plans. Because he doesn't need one. Even Jesus himself submitted to the Father's plan as he prayed the night of his betrayal and arrest. You remember that? He, Jesus, went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Folks, if any prayer ever prayed could move the hand of God, that was it. Jesus, who is God, right? Yet the Bible tells us that when he came to earth, he laid aside his divine qualities, his divine attributes, his abilities, making himself completely dependent upon his heavenly Father. That's why he prayed, "If it is possible." Church, why do we sing songs like "All Things Are Possible" or "There's Nothing That Our God Can't Do"? It's not to pump up our faith, but to glorify our God. Every miracle God performs is for a purpose, to fulfill his plan of the ages, to restore people's relationships with him. And when we're working to fulfill that purpose, there's nothing that our God won't do. If you're praying for a bigger boat than your neighbor's, probably not going to happen. But if you pray for your neighbor to get a job, to be healed, so they can come to know and follow Jesus, well, that is going to move the heart and the hand of God. I want your will to be done, Lord, not mine. So, where are you at with all of this morning? Has your attitude and focus only been what's in it for me? Or have you been sideswiped one too many times in your life to realize that this hasn't been working out for you? And with a newfound, hopefully, humility, maybe some desperation, you're ready to turn to God, to ask for his help. As has already been said, God cares about you. wants the very best for you. But nothing will change until you turn to Jesus and let him change you. Give him your broken life, and he'll give you a new life of abundance and purpose and fulfillment. And you'll begin to enjoy a relationship with him that'll last forever. If you feel like you're ready to take that step today and you want to do that, I'm going to help you by leading you in a simple prayer to God as we all bow our heads right now together. You can just follow along silently, pray along with me, and God will hear and answer you. He already knows your heart, and he longs to make you his child and give you his eternal life. So just pray along with me. Dear God, I admit that I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, only for myself, really, not ever considering what you might want for me. And I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me and make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to you, by dying to pay the price for my sin. So right now, I ask him to lead my life. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to listen to what you tell me as you guide me to be who you created me to be and to do what you planned for me to do all along. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me and accepting me as your child today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, if you did give your life to Jesus today, you prayed that prayer for the first time, please, could you let me know before you leave? I would love to just meet with you, pray with you if you like, or just give you, I've got some resources I'd love to share. Or you can fill in one of those connect cards in the back of the seat or online. They're connected or linked to this video or on our website or our church app, and I'll send you out that stuff as well. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jason.